Ladies and gentlemen and children of all ages, the Anchor Podcasting Network is proud to bring you its brand new social media podcast, Double Tap, presented by Mulraney Media. I am your host, Mike Mulraney, and this podcast is going to be the place for social media news, demystifying the best practices in the industry, and an honest and frank conversation about the trials and tribulations of freelancing and consulting work. There's no better way to start episode one of a new podcast than to let the listener know why they should trust me. My name is Mike Mulraney. I started Mulraney Media, my social media marketing firm, in 2017. That comes after 5 years as a social media manager and marketer for my regular 9-to-5 job. I wanted to get a good expertise in what I was doing before I branched out and went one-on-one with clients and freelancing. And I performed the social media manager marketing job across much of the Northeast, New Jersey, Virginia, Pennsylvania, and now New York. What I'm looking to do in this podcast, and we're going to try to do it about once a week, is for me to share what I've learned over the past 6 years and the past little bit more than a year of being on my own in freelancing and consulting. I want to talk about the best practices for your Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Pinterest, Medium accounts, because there's no sense in knowing what I've learned through experience if I can't share it with other people. I want to talk about the trials and tribulations of freelancing and consulting and getting off the ground and branching out in the Fiverr and branching out and getting clients beyond friends of friends and acquaintances, and what I've done to break into this freelance and consulting world. And I want to break down the news that affects our industry and how the movers and shakers of the social media landscape are going to affect our future. I've already done a short version of this podcast on our Instagram channel through Mulraney Media. It was our first IGTV episode, and that's the best way to figure out what I look like, to put a face to the name. And we're going to be trying to do this podcast and the mini podcast once a week. So with that, we're going to break into the first topic of our first podcast, what you can see on the Instagram channel, spontaneity and the need for it to continue within social media management, content creation, and marketing. I spent a few days in Lafayette, Indiana last week, and when I was on my way home on the shuttle to the Indianapolis airport, I came across a great microcosm for the importance of spontaneity remaining in social media management and content creation. And that is, on the shuttle we're heading to Indianapolis, and I pass one of those green signs that list the cities and how far away you are for the exit. And on this green sign, it had a city in Indiana called Zionsville. And I'm a big Knicks fan, and they're looking to get the number one pick in the NBA draft. And it looks like the number one pick is going to be a kid named Zion Williamson from Duke University. And while we're on the shuttle headed toward the next sign, I think the first green one was 2.5 miles or 5 miles or whatever it is. So I set up my phone to take a picture of the sign on the way by. I'm going to throw a couple of GIFs in it to make a quick Instagram story for Mulraney Media's Instagram channel. And I'm able to get a good picture. I just got this new iPhone XS Max, so the camera is phenomenal. And I fill a couple of gifts in there and I throw it up. And it got me thinking about content calendars. And we're in this era of social media management where content calendars are king. And make sure that you have your photos ready for Instagram. And make sure you're staying on message on Facebook and Twitter. And you're lining up your Medium op-eds. And you're lining up your videos on YouTube and pre-roll ads. And it keeps everything succinct. And passing this sign made me think of, in the very beginning of kind of social media management and content marketing, a lot of it was in the moment. A lot of it was feel. And a lot of it was keeping an eye out for quick content like this. And I thoroughly believe that there's still a spot for this kind of content in social media management and content marketing, content creation. It's fun, it's lighthearted, and it fits perfectly for Facebook and Instagram stories. I love Facebook stories, especially early on when people who like your page see it on the side of the screen or get push notifications for it. Instagram stories, they're always at the top of the screen. A lot of people like to just click through them like Snapchat stories, depending on how many people they follow. And when you come across something that fits into your brand or fits into your client's brand or fits into your messaging that you're currently working through, sometimes content shouldn't wait. It shouldn't wait till a throwback Thursday post in 2 weeks where you can say, remember I was on this trip in Indiana and I came across this sign and now it's NBA draft season and this town was named after Zion Williamson or Zion Williamson. His name reminded me of the town. Sometimes it just hits you, and this is the kind of thing that should be online and on your account. It's not going to be in your calendar. You don't need to put it in the calendar. It just needs to go online. What's great about this kind of content is it's light, and social media sites are leaning into it, especially on Facebook and on Instagram. While I also was out in Indiana, I came across one of my first issues in my new life as a freelancer and consultant. And that's I ended up at a get-together for a dissertation defense. And I was meeting a lot of people who are doctors and who are grad students and who are working toward solving some of the biggest issues in our society. And when it came to me for the introductions or to speak to some of these people in private, I realized I didn't have my elevator pitch down as to why not necessarily I do what I do, but talking to people about our industry and what we do. And it kind of threw me off because you have these people who solve the big problems, who are doing tons of research in different fields. And it gets to be a little overwhelming. These people are authorities. And a lot of times when you're a freelancer or a consultant, you play the authority or you play on your experience to try to sell these people on why they should work with you. And when you come across somebody who's academically trained like that, when you might be self-taught or you might have a lot of experience, it kind of throws you off your element. So it kind of threw me in a way that I wasn't prepared to be, in a way I wasn't prepared to discuss what I do. It's not like these people were clients or had the potentiality to even be clients. It was just a matter of working on my elevator pitch of 45, 60 seconds. This is what I do. This is why it's important. This is who I work with or have had the opportunity to work with. So one of the things I want to impress upon people in this aspect of the podcast is freelancing and consulting is difficult. It's tough to get out there and speak to people. It's tough to be across different audiences and put yourself out there without the full backing of an industry or name recognition. And it was certainly a learning experience for me going into, say, young professionals, mixers, or co-working habitats, or co-working environments where you have the opportunity to meet a lot of other people. And this is kind of as tense of a environment that you're going to come across, at least for me, and how I'm used to speaking with people. So I've spent a lot of time since I've come home working on my elevator pitch, talking to myself in the mirror about what I would say in these instances, what I would do, not necessarily using the same words each time to come off rehearsed, but at least getting more comfortable with the idea of speaking to people who are authority figures about what my business and what I can do for them. And it was very enlightening. It was very important to have this meeting or this party I was at this early on in my career as a freelancer and consultant, so that when I am more established and I do have the opportunity to perhaps sell someone like this down the road, I have my elevator pitch down more pat and I'm more capable of speaking to people in this kind of environment. And I would love to hear some of your stories about how you got into your elevator pitch, instances where you might have been thrown off your game, so that together we can kind of foster this environment where we all can grow and learn from each other, learn best practices, learn best tips, because some of us may be more well-versed in the consulting, freelancing, selling yourself aspect of this. And some of us may be better off working with the back end of things where I can really show you what I know rather than tell you what I know. And we'll all grow and work well together. And I would love to hear these stories through our Facebook page, through our Instagram account, or even having call-ins to this show. We can play them over the air. And I look forward to hearing from you. Now let's move on to our new news, social media in the news segment. The first major story I'd like to hit on is Facebook CEO and founder Mark Zuckerberg laid out his kind of New Year's resolution for Facebook and for technology this year. Now, Zuck is famous for these kind of New Year's resolutions. One year he read 25 books in a year. One year he ran 365 miles, a mile a day. One year he learned Mandarin. Last year, I believe his message was to visit every state. And I know that led to a lot of rumors of Zuckerberg running for political office. And this year, Zuckerberg said that he's going to focus on holding these kind of like town halls if they were in politics, but I guess he's going to call them forums to discuss the future of technology. And that's something that I'm really interested in. These are the kind of questions that Zuckerberg is going to look to answer according to his Facebook page. This is a direct quote here. "There are so many big questions about the world we want to live in and technology's place in it. Do we want technology to keep giving more people a voice? Or will traditional gatekeepers control what ideas can be expressed? Should we decentralize authority through encryption or other means to put more power in people's hands? In a world where more physical communities are weakening, what role can the internet play in strengthening our social fabric? How do we build an internet that helps people come together to address the world's biggest problems that require global scale collaboration? How do we build technology that creates more jobs rather than just building AI to automate things people do? What form will this all take now that the smartphone is mature? And how do we keep up with the pace of scientific and technological progress across fields? And Zuckerberg has said that he's going to look to hold these forums with industry leaders. And I would be very interested to see which industry leader Zuckerberg is going to pull out on stage. If we're going to talk automation, is there a better person to bring out on stage than, say, Elon Musk of Tesla, who has given an interview for 60 Minutes late last year or early this year, saying that he actually ended up getting rid of some of his automation and returning back to people building his vehicles? Or will he bring up Jeff Bezos of Amazon and have Bezos talk about the virtues of some of the automation that he's done at Amazon in terms of getting items in packages, sending items, getting two-day delivery off the ground? And when he talks about social fabric and bringing these things in, and how the smartphone is going to work as it continues to mature. Is he going to bring in social psychologists or sociologists? Is it just going to be tech guys? I'm very interested in this because Zuckerberg takes these New Year's resolutions so seriously. And if these forums are broadcast by, say, a CNN or an ABC News or a 60 Minutes, is he going to have the star power there? Is it going to be agendaed? What's Facebook's agenda with these forums? This has the potentiality to really shape Facebook moving forward, the kinds of programs that we're going to get consumer data from to run our advertisements. How will this affect publishers' rights on Facebook? Will we continue to see news stories that get the clicks go higher up in Facebook's algorithm? Will it slowly cycle news stories out of the timeline except for advertisements and top stories? This is all something that has the potential to greatly shape Facebook's future and our future as social media managers and marketers. The next big story that came out this week was a survey done by Sciences Advances and YouGov about fake news and its propensity to be shared across social media profiles. Fake news and Russian ad buys have kind of been at the forefront, or at least within the news every single week since the 2016 presidential election. And this kind of story, well, this study includes 3,500 people and these are people with and without social media sites. About 49% of them gave their Facebook data to YouGov and Sciences Advances. And of these people, 8.5% of them shared a link from a site that was famous for housing fake news. The larger numbers broken down by party are 18% of users who identify as Republicans shared a fake news story, while 4% of those identifying as Democrats did. And the breakdown by ages is very fascinating here. 11% of those 65 and older shared at least one fake news story, while those newly able to vote and those in the smartphone generation, 18 to 29, shared only 3% of them shared a fake news story. The numbers for 65 plus were staggering. Twice as many articles were shared from the 65 plus demographic as 45 to 65, the next highest. Those over 65 shared 7 times more articles than those between 18 to 29. And for those of us who have prolonged Facebook usage or people who are engulfed in Twitter and people who are familiar with this kind of Twitter snark or Twitter political culture or people who have seen a Facebook comment feed, the numbers for those 45 to 65 and 65 plus aren't necessarily shocking. We see a lot of our relatives or people older sharing these kind of memes and sharing these news stories that you just don't see younger people share. And it is pretty incredible how this generation and a little bit older, the people who shepherded the younger people through the start of the digital age, who almost had a slogan of don't trust everything you read online, don't talk to strangers on the internet, managed to kind of come full circle and become the ones most susceptible to news that enforces their preconceived notions of what the news should be. These are individuals who looked after us at the dawn of the internet age, at the dawn of blogging and internet culture, and now they seem to be the ones with the most time to spend on Facebook and the most and are the least suspicious of news stories that on their face value seem to be fake or seem to be completely one-sided. And one of the studies I would like to see moving forward is how this came to be. Heavy internet users are aware that these kind of biases have already existed. We've seen them in our comment section. We've seen them on Twitter. We've argued with them on Twitter to no avail. I just would like to know how this shift occurred and how this change happened. And if that's possible with science's advances in YouGov or through another psychological survey involving political actors, I would love to see it. And I would hope that more studies come across this kind of information, because I think it's so very important for Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and Medium to get a hold on this kind of fake news issues. Facebook has done a great job of cleaning this stuff up. Twitter still lags behind in a lot of their self-policing. I'm not sure what's going on with Medium. They always seem to take good care of their platform. YouTube has issues in cleaning up some of its fake news and hate speech. So it's something that's going to affect our industry for a long time. And I hope that we can get more studies to better understand this, to give their recommendations to the social media giants to clean up their platforms and get to a place where the news we see on these platforms is as close to the truth as it can be. let's end this podcast on a happy note. It's a new year. Let's get a new cover photo up, at least for your pages. And then if you have a holiday-themed profile picture of your logo in a Santa hat or celebrating the new year or wrapped around in Christmas lights, it's time to shuffle those out. Don't get complacent with your profile picture. That should always be your logo or have your logo prominently displayed. Your cover photos should always have your logo on them. Your logo is your reputation. It's your brand. And if somebody goes onto your Facebook page or Twitter profile or YouTube channel, they should see your logo and your name as often as possible. It's so important for those of us starting out as a freelancer, as a consultant, as someone on Fiverr or other freelancing sites, that people remember who you are. There's a lot of people out there trying to get the same clients the rest of us are, or trying to get these same Fiverr jobs, or trying to reach out to the same audience. So you're out there, you're doing a great job. It's important that these people always remember to come back to you. I like changing out my cover photo at least once a month, depending on the season changing, depending on the holiday. It can even be as much as once or twice a month if you're changing it for a specific holiday or a week or day of recognition. But that should have the most turnover. Your profile picture should either get campy with a holiday or by and large stay the same, except for a rebranding of your logo, a new addition of a similar logo, changing colors. By and large, your logo is your profile picture. That's your brand. You should take care of it. Always have your logo prominently displayed on your cover photo. It's very important that your client's first impression of your account is your brand and it's your name out there getting the attention. So I want to thank you for listening to podcast one. I greatly appreciate it. I'm looking forward to recording episode two already. I feel like I've learned a lot about Anchor and its whole interface, so next week will be even better. I look forward to hearing about any of your stories about the pitches. I look forward to hearing about what you think Zuckerberg's going to do, why baby boomers seem to share the most fake news, and what, if anything, you're doing to keep your cover photos up to date. Be sure to tune in next week, subscribe to this podcast, and rate it. Be sure to follow us on Instagram, Mulraney Media. Check out a leak of this podcast on IGTV every week. Be sure to like us on Facebook, Mulraney Media. We put up all of our news stories right there. You'll get a flavor for what this podcast is going to be at the end of the week. And be sure to tell your friends about our Fiverr account, Mulraney Media, across all of those. Thank you for listening. This has been Double Tap, presented by Mulraney Media. I've been Mike Mulraney, and I'm looking forward to seeing you out there on social networking. Thank you and enjoy your week.